And I had the dream. Jesus was sitting in a chair on the porch, and I was sitting on his lap. He said, even back then, I was trying to show you that you're seated in me. And I can remember then, it was so much peace. And I was, even though I was an adult, I was a child. I don't care how old you get. If your parents still live and you're still their child. And you behave like a child around there with respect and expectations. And I remember sitting in Jesus' lap. I can still see it clearly. All I can recall seeing is draping white robes and him pointing to something. It's almost he was trying to tell me, just enjoy what you see. And I'll never forget looking up at him and saying, Jesus, you want some potato chips? He said, no, thank you. And I don't know if he said that to make it real or what. But last night he reminded me, even back then, I was seated in Christ. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today because we have got to begin to see who we are in Christ. And the Lord has admonished me, and I'm sure has admonished my husband as well. Preach the word. Even in our preaching, don't perform. It's only the word that will set you free. Preach the word. The word will do its work. The word will draw unto Christ. We need no shenanigans behind this podium. We do not. We don't need to pump ourselves up or begin to work up a certain dialect. You know, the Holy Spirit moves you that way, fine, but you don't practice that. You just come up with the word. You can be the dullest speaker in the word. In the world, but if you come up trusting God and his anointing falls on the word that you're bringing forth, it has nothing to do with you. That word that has power, and it's the power of the gospel that enhances your salvation. Just preach the word. That's all you got to do. Preach the word. And that's what I want to talk to us about today. I pray the Lord help me to get through this. Yes, I'm going to give you some scripture, and you need to write down every scripture I get to you or either get the tape, and you need to take these scriptures home and begin to meditate in them, begin to believe them, begin to apply them to your life so you can grow and know who you are and begin to rise up and take a stand against Satan. My husband explained to me this morning, he said when Satan comes to you and what does the Bible say? Agree with the adversary while he's in the way? Well, he got revelation on that today. See, Satan, yes, agree with them because he's coming to you with the law. He's coming and telling you about the law. You right, Satan, but guess what? I don't live in the law. I'm under grace. So agree with him. Yes, what you're saying is be gone now. I'm not going to sit here and argue the law with you because I'm living under grace and I'm free. Hallelujah. And I know who I am in Christ and I'm standing on a firm foundation. So I'm not going to sit here and argue the law with you. I'm free in my spirit. I'm free in my spirit. Amen. So I'm going to talk to you today about being established in the word. It's time. My husband last week was, if you all remember, he was saying that God is serious. I caught that. I said, the Lord is telling me the same thing, but in a different way. In other words, God's saying it's time to grow up. We've heard that. We've heard time to grow up, time to grow up. Well, you know, as a parent, they're not going to continue to tell you that. The day going to come when they're going to say, I told you to grow up. Now, if you had listened then, what you're going through now wouldn't be as difficult if you had learned and practiced what I gave you back then. You can have a child, shoes always untied. Let me show you how to tie your shoe. Still haven't learned a thing. Let me show you how to tie your shoe. Now here comes an enemy. Here comes a bully chasing you. You running. You running, you getting away, but you're tripping. You know, you're getting all tangled up. You barely make it out alive. Well, if you had learned to tie your shoes, you could have had more speed. And the same thing today. It's time to grow up, saints. It really is. Everybody who's alive knows that we're in a season now that if you do not know who you are in Christ, the enemy's going to have an upper hand on you. Yes, you may die and go to heaven, but your purpose in now will not be fulfilled. And a lot of what you go through, you wouldn't have to go through, even in your mind, if you knew who you were in Christ. If you knew who you were, and if you knew the liberty, and if you knew the grace under which you live, you really could walk in the abundant life. You don't need a 10-step guide to say how to walk in the abundant life. It's all in the Word of God. We have to begin to believe the Word of God. And then my husband spoke of the word, remember, aware? Remember he said aware? What God had dropped in my spirit, he says, it's time for folk to be established. Let's get a stat. Why you're coming to church? You're coming to Bible school. Are you being established in anything? Do you know what justification is? Do you know what redemption is? Do you know what redeemed is? Redeemed from what? Saved from what? Victory over what? The power to do what? You walk around with sickness in your body when God said, I died for all that. Why are you carrying it? And I'll tell you something, the more you read the word on whatever is afflicting you, the more you get in there, the more you study it, the more you saturate, the spirit man begin to rise up, you begin to believe it. And all of a sudden you get right giddy when you understand your inheritance in Christ. You get right excited about it. But you have to get established. You can't sit around and wait for Pastor and I to get established in the Word. Because we have our own to deal with. You understand what I'm saying? We deal with ours, you deal with yours. And we're going to intercede for one another. But there's no reason to wake up in the middle of the night and say, let me call Pastor George. No, you talk to Jesus. You speak the Word that's in you. You get up and begin to say what is and what isn't. You begin to bind and loose. You begin to stand. And when you can do all you can do, just stand, trust in God. Stop receiving everything that comes your way. Man will say this, and man will say, what is the Spirit of the living God saying to you? Man can give you a report. You go and get a report from the Lord. What does he say? That's the report you're going to believe. You compare the two, and that's what you believe. That's what you do the good fight of faith for. That's what we did with Francine. Okay, what the devil say? I don't believe it. Nothing in her is dying because in her is life. Make your choice. Choose you this day. Yes, she's fighting, but my God, the battle was won at Calvary. Now she just needs folk around her to believe with her. She has Zoe life in her. Nothing in her can die. The blood of Jesus runs through her, and anything it touches, it brings to life. I heard a pastor say today, Satan can't resurrect a thing. Everything the blood of Jesus touches comes to life. Hallelujah. And if you know who you are in Christ, as soon as that nasty booger touches you, you take authority. Say, not up in here. It's all in the flesh anyway. He can't touch the inner man. It's just the flesh. And I told you all before, the flesh is just as retarded. It doesn't know what to do. It does whatever the soul tells it to do. So you tell the flesh, you line up. You get in touch with that Zoe life. Pastor Minor. As we begin to, our eyes begin to come open, do you begin to see that your youth is being renewed like the eagle? I told Charles the other day, I said, Charles, you got to see yourself inside you like a 33-year-old man. Charles received it because he looked at Dot and said, you hear that? We got to become so supernatural that, like someone said, people going to say, they nuts. Thank you. I don't want to be like you. I want to be nuts. You know, it's just like someone gave an example. Winston. I don't want to be an eagle in a chicken coop. Walking around with my head down, eating sort of anything. And eagles flying above, you know, and soaring. And because the eagle didn't believe he wasn't an eagle, he stayed in that chicken coop. Said he ate like a chicken, retired like a chicken, went to chicken dances, and died and was buried like a chicken. And how many of us are in that situation? We know who we are with Christ, but we refuse to get away from the crowd. Because you know you're different. You know you're strange. You know something's not clicking. But the enemy will shut you down, almost make you ashamed of the gospel. Let me get back to where I'm going, being established in the word. Let's move. We have to be established in truth. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Paul talking to the Romans, he said, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." Verse 3, "For what I received I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." We as the children of God, we have to settle this in our heart. That he lived, that he was buried, that he was raised. You have to know that. That's a truth in God. We have to stop re-crucifying Christ because you're not established in the truth. Stop re-crucifying him. Hebrews 5:11 through 14, this is the Message Bible. It says, "I have a lot more to say about this, but it's hard to get it across to you since you've picked up this bad habit of not listening. By this time, you ought to be teachers yourselves. Yet here I find you need someone to sit down with you and go over the basics on God." Yeah. Again and again, starting from square one, baby's milk, when you should be on solid food long ago. It says milk is for beginners, inexperienced in God's ways. Solid food is for the mature who have some practice in telling right from wrong. So Hebrews 6 tells us, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that led to death." It's time to grow up. The Father has no pleasure in weak and feeble children. He'll take care of us. Yes, he will. He'll love us. He'll protect us. But he has no joy in it. Why? Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 tells us that. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." You see how God's talking us through his scriptures. This is the word of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord. God never made anybody sick. Settle it. Settle it right now. God never made anyone sick. He has never made any of his children sick, or has he hurt them? He never oppresses them. He has provided strength and grace for all. Settle it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The reason you get so depressed and so fearful and so doubtful is because you think it's you doing it. And we know we can't do anything. We don't even have the answer, so we get nervous about it. But God said, be strong in his might. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, it says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." God saved us to do good works. That's what Jesus came here to do, good works. The scripture just told you, you will abound in every good work. Every one of us owes it to ourselves to be established in the word. We have to be settled. We have to be fixed. So we will not be thrown about by every wind and doctrine, because it's coming in the land. You got a lot of foolishness out there. And if you don't know who you are in Christ, you will not be able to show grace to others, because you'll get confused and frustrated. See, grace is just pouring out love. That's the gospel of grace, just pouring out love. Grace to you. Grace to you. And if someone comes to you with any other doctrines than what is preached, the Bible said, let them be accursed. So you can't get caught up in defending anything. You have to walk in this gospel of just love. That's the nature of God. And if he's in you, you ought to have his nature. Every believer should know that Christ, what Christ is to him and what he has done for him and what he is doing for him right now. You need to know these. What has Christ done for you? What is he doing for you? What does he plan to do for you? Come on, let's get educated here. Let's grow up. What did he do for you? Someone come up and say, what Christ do for you? How do you know you're saved? What is salvation? What's the difference between your life and my life? So what's he doing for you now? And what does he plan to do in you in the future? You ought to have, not only should you have answers, you ought to be established so that when you share your testimony, they sense coming out of your spirit, that person is sure their foundation. And all the time sharing it with grace. Grace and a smile. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1 and 30 says, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. See, you need to know word like them. People say, you are nothing. I don't even know why you serving God. You getting nowhere. You've been doing this forever. It seems like everybody else is exceeding, but you're not. You need to know in your heart that what God started, he's going to finish. So I don't have time to be jealous. I don't have time. Can I help you to go further? Because God, my turn with God is coming. I'm not jealous of you because I know who I am. I'm established in the word. Hallelujah. It may be taking God a little longer because I may be a little bit more stubborn than you. See, that takes humility. God may have a little bit more to get out of me, but I'm not the least bit concerned because what he started, the word says what? He'll finish it. Somebody come and tell you, sit down. I don't want you to usher anymore. I most certainly will. Sit down. I don't want you to collect, but I most certainly will. And my foot just tapping. I'm not the least bit concerned because what God started in me, he shall finish. Hallelujah. Even if he got to move you out the way, I pray he doesn't because I'm going to show you grace. Hallelujah. But I'm not being devious and deceitful and gossipy behind your back. Guess what they did to me, girl? Guess what they told me, girl? I'm going to shut my mouth. Hallelujah. And I'm going to trust in God. Because what he started in me, that's what I'm talking about. See, that's what you call being established in the word. My God, you've been playing that guitar for 50 years. I'm playing it with joy. I'm playing it with faith. I'm playing it with persistence and patience. Because God told me what he started in me, he's going to complete it. Hallelujah. Grace and peace to you. That's all you got to say. You don't let that stuff get in your head. You don't let that stuff get in your heart. You stop it at the door. And then you let a word rise up in you. Glory to God. And begin to fight the good fight of faith. Got to know who you are. Now it says you got to be confident. Hebrews 7:25 said, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede. The believer should know what belongs to him. Know what is really yours. This isn't a fairy tale. It's a marvelous thing to be born again, to be a new creation in Christ. Woo! I told somebody, I felt like Scrooge on the day after Christmas. Remember? When he made it. Scrooge made it. He was just jumping all over the place. And that's how I feel with this gospel of grace. It frees you to get so excited. Because inwardly, you know, whatever I need, all I got to do is talk to the Father. Nothing against me will prosper. Nothing. No sickness, no disease, no poverty, nothing. Glory to God. That'll get you excited. It ought to. Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. You ought to know that no matter what happens, you need to learn to stand and be quiet and restful in the consciousness that God is for him. And that no one can successfully be your enemy. My goodness. You afraid for God. I said, no one can succeed. They can be your enemy, but they won't be successful. See, your job is not to fight. You pour out grace. Because in your heart, you're saying, you will not. You need to stop there because you will not be successful. And that's why you can love them. Because whatever they do against you, it's not going to prosper. But pray for them. pray for them. Sometimes something can come in our lives, and I was studying the other day even about trouble. Trouble's an instrument of God. God's in control of trouble. He can do with trouble what he wants to do. Let it have his way. Trouble doesn't always mean a bad result. God's using it. Pray and say, Lord, give me strength and give me grace to go through this trouble with you, this mild affliction. The enemy come in your head and tell you it's over. Forget it. Lay down and die. Give it all up. And you need to begin to, I told you, like Magneto on X-Men. You know why he wear that helmet? So they can't read his mind. That's the only way they could get to Magneto. They couldn't do anything else with him. That's how we are in with this new creation. Satan can't touch this. He can't touch it. He can't. It's every now and then you got to let him know, you know, you silly thing, you let go. You can't touch this. But he can show mess with this. And that's when you got to take out your helmet of salvation, slide it on your head, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you recall what is my salvation. Glory to God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. By his stripes I am healed. See, Satan can't make, he trying his best. Get all through there, and you just walking with confidence, not hearing a thing. The Bible says, I wish above all things that you will prosper and your soul will prosper. And come on, Janice, and you be in good health. How in the world are you going to be in good health if your soul not prospering? See, your soul got to start prospering in the word of God. And once the soul agrees with the spirit, you on your way. Glory to God. Put on that helmet of salvation. Stop thinking them chicken thoughts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Chicken thoughts. Romans 8, 31 through 39, Message Bible. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? Come on, get a grip. If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, here's a question for you. Is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? Why don't you trust him? What more do you want him to do? He loved his son. He knew his son was going for a cruel death. See, you all don't understand. Y'all think that he just died on the cross. You all don't know what went on in hell. You all don't know what they did to him in hell. My God, my God. They say his redemption was perfect. He took on the nature of Satan. Had to, because he died. He died. Glory to God. I'm getting ahead of myself, because there was a moment down in the hell when Peter said he came back to life. Woo! And that's when the drama began. But he died for you. Everything. And let me tell you something. See, you got to get this. The scripture says that when he was crucified, I was crucified with him. I was on the cross with him. But see, you all stopped there. I didn't jump out of him when he went to hell. I was still in him. He took me right on to hell with him. But his love surrounded me. He kept Satan from touching me. He said, Satan, I'll take whatever you're supposed to give to know me. I'll take it. I'll take it. And he was justified in spirit. Satan gave him everything he could give him, but he didn't let him touch me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And sooner or later, you heard a voice say, that's it. Talk about that a little bit more later. You got to know what he did for you. Don't let his death be in vain for you. Don't you suffer anything Satan bring towards you. Tell Satan, not so. Not so. Mm-mm. Not so. The new creature is being renewed day by day. Stop letting the enemy tell me you're getting older. You're getting weaker. You're of no use. You're a lie. I'm being renewed in my spirit. I have all the strength I need. I don't need any plastic surgery. Glory to God. What in the world can man do that God can't do better? Man had to go ahead and create a way to make you look like you 30. God says the new creation is no more than 33. All right, call me crazy, but I believe it in my heart. Hallelujah, we're strong inside. How do you think Caleb went and took that mountain? How do you think Moses was able to see 2020 vision. He knew who he was in Christ. Get your mind off of growing old. Get your mind off of being feeble. Get your mind off of man's age. See yourself as a new creature in Christ. Strong and mighty and able to stand firm and do all that God has called us to do. Hallelujah. Full of divine help. Hallelujah. Who can be against me if God is for me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Feel that strength flowing through your body. Feel that strength flow. Stop laying down and giving it up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up and stand firm. Know who you are in Christ. I am a new creation. My spirit man is being renewed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Don't you give up, Pastor. Don't you give up, Pastor. Be strengthened in the Lord. Be strengthened in the Lord. Be strengthened in the Lord. You are a new creation. You are a new creation. It's nothing man can tell me that I'm going to receive to be truth if it doesn't line up with the word of God. I don't care if you can't see it. I don't care if it is manifested. If it's from man, don't believe it. You begin to speak the truth. I'm a new creation. Oh, glory to God. God reigns in me. Satan can't touch Jesus. He can't touch me. Hallelujah. It's a mirage. It's a placebo. It definitely is not the truth. Glory to God. Glory to God. I just believe what I'm saying. I just believe what I'm saying. Call me crazy if you want to. I'm tired of settling for this boring gospel. I walk in the supernatural. Hallelujah. I can see in the spirit. Hallelujah. I am God, little children. And Jesus Christ, I told you before, when he was on the earth, he showed us how the new creation is supposed to walk. Sickness came nowhere near. Poverty came nowhere near. He went to sickness and he said, get out of here. Sickness and disease succumbed to him. But you got to know who you are. You got to know who you are. Devil is a lie. God's people, it's time for us to be healthy. Spirit, soul, and body. Strong. Glory to God. Focus. It's time to go out and share this gospel of grace. As Paul said, pray that I can preach it speedily. We got to get about our business. We got to get about our business. As soon as you find out who you are. Nothing fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced, Paul said, that nothing, living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our master, has embraced us. He loves us. Every believer should know that the name of Jesus can mean to him in his daily life. So that no matter what happened, he's a victor to a conqueror. Do you know the power of the name of Jesus? If you do, why aren't you using it? Do you know the power of the blood? Plead the blood. It's redeemed. It's our remission of sins. The name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow. You have to meditate and study every scripture that pertains to that. John 16 and 24 says, this is what I want you to do. Ask the Father for whatever is in keeping with the things I've revealed to you. Ask the Father in Jesus. He didn't ask me. He said, ask the Father. Let's obey the word. The word works. Hallelujah. ask in my name according to my will. Well, if you don't know who you are in his will, you don't know what to ask for. And he'll most certainly give it to you. And your joy will be a river overflowing its banks. That's how I feel in my spirit. Just full of the joy of the Lord. Because I believe whatever I ask in his name according to his will is done. Glory to God. And now I'm beginning to see, even if trouble comes my way, God's in control of it. Whatever comes my way, God is in control of it. And see, you have to allow that righteousness in you to drive out fear. We'll talk about that in a minute. Because everything that happened to us is not perfect or correct. The enemy immediately sends fear. He lies on God. God's forsaking you. God's closed his eyes towards you. God doesn't care about you. He's lying. And we'll listen to it and fear will be able to come in. But it's in the flesh. It's not in your spirit. Because Jesus doesn't fear. That's a new creation in there. Brand new creation. It's not your spirit. It's the flesh. And you got to tell that flesh not so. I'm not living in fear. And then you have to settle down and rest in Christ. Let the spirit of Christ in you come up. In faith, you got to see Christ saying, I'm not afraid of that. I stand in the presence of my Father all the time. I hear him. I'm not afraid of that. Let me handle it. You sit your little self on down and rest in Christ. Glory to God. Mark 16:17-20. This is the Message Bible. These are some of the signs that will accompany believers. They will throw out demons in my name. They will speak in new tongues. They will take snakes in their hands. They will drink poison and not be hurt. They will lay hands on the sick and make them well. They're talking about the new creature. They're not talking about you. They're talking about the Christ in you. See, you think it's you. He's not talking about you. Weak, fearful, feeble. He's not talking about you. He's talking about the new creation in you. And when you see Christ doing that, you're going to be just like Paul. You're going to shake that viper off. That was Christ that was doing the shaking. It wasn't Paul. Every believer needs to be established in this truth. So many of us have been established in weakness. We got to get it out of us. It's settled in there. We're establishing weakness. We're establishing sickness and infirmities. We just establish in that that's our portion. No, it's not. Some of us are establishing fear and the sense of sin and the sense of lack of inability. We believe that that's our portion. We just establish. We're supposed to be poor. We're supposed to be sick. We're supposed to be. You're more established in that than in the word of God that's come to set you free. If you can be established in that, why can't you be established in the truth? Come together with someone believing. Where two and three are gathered together, there's Jesus in the midst. And begin to open up your mouth, begin to speak the truth. Let them talk about you. We used to talk about our auntie like that. Our auntie, this is crazy. Who in the world is you talking to? What demon? What angel? We're just as silly. And then here we are. Understanding that she was looking in the spirit realm. And she began to bind. And we used to laugh at her. Don't be open up that door. See, then I'm getting a little nervous. Why? I want this demon to get out of here. And now you're scared, right? So you go, you open up the door, and she's ushering him out of her house. See, we don't do stuff like that. We too sophisticated. We don't want people to think, you know, we got leather furniture and we got wall-to-wall carpet and you know, we got all these beautiful items in our home, so of course Satan wouldn't come in here. Let's stop being fooled. Oh, he's right up there in your china cabinet. He's hiding under your Persian carpet. Come on now, let's stop trusting in material things. Like the more we have, the more the closer we are to God. Has nothing to do with it. Stop letting the enemy take advantage of. Go home and clean your house out. Go home and start speaking to the devil. Start speaking to your circumstances. Start speaking to your body. Start speaking to your mind. Start getting established in the word. Rise up. And let the devil know, I know who I am in Christ. Let him talk about me. They're going to talk about you anyway. Go ahead and lose your house, lose your car, lose all your money, Charles. They're going to talk about you anyway. If they're going to talk about anything, let them talk about you being powerful in the word of God. Hallelujah. Let's move on. Park that truck. We have to be established in the truth that is God is for us, who is against us. We have to know that God is our Father, that he gave up his son to die for us, and that he gave us his own nature, his own life. Do you know that? Do you understand? Have you gotten a revelation on what a new creation is? You hear it, you hear it, you hear it, but do you know what it is? Do you honestly believe that inside of you there is a new creature? You got to see it. You got to start walking in the supernatural. We are born again, brand new. We are supernatural beings. Our speech is heavenly. My matters is in heaven. A new creature has no business functioning with earthly matters. This is not my home. I'm sitting in heavenly places. What's going on in the heavens? What's happening, Father? Now we can get it happening in the earth through me, your new creation. Stop spending too much time with earthly matters. We're heavenly beings. We're establishing that. We're settled. We're fixed. And we're established in the truth that Satan is defeated. When you gonna get it? Satan was, I thought about you, Spivey, with Joab. Satan is paralyzed. Paralyzed. We always, you know, when people used to get drunk, they paralyzed drunk. Oh, y'all never said that. We used to see them in the neighborhood, they paralyzed drunk. It means they can't move. They don't know where they are. They don't know what happened to them. Well, by the time Jesus finished with Satan, he was paralyzed. What in the world happened? I can't move. Where my keys, y'all? I can't find my keys. What in the world? Who's that pulling me? Who's that making me ashamed? Who's that closing the door in my face? I'm paralyzed. I can't do a thing. Paralyzed them. My Jesus. Glory to God. And he comes right to your mind and try to make you think that he has some sort of power and authority. No, he doesn't. He's a liar. Jesus died and he conquered Satan. Talk about righteousness. Give me 15 minutes. Righteousness is the key to the substitutionary work that Christ did. The object of Christ's finished work was that he might make it possible for natural man to become a new creation. And by that new creation, become the righteousness of God in Christ. What in the world is righteousness? Write it down. You need to know. Why are you talking about things you don't know about? You are the righteousness of Christ. What am I saying? Right standing. Glory to God. And then you got to even go deeper than that. Why does that matter? To have right standing with God. Well, Jesus had right standing. And when he went to the tomb of Lazarus, right there he was showing righteousness. He wasn't afraid to say, Lazarus, come forth. Because he knew what he spoke would happen. He had no fear in the presence of his Father. He had no doubt in the presence of his Father. He knew that he was sinless in the presence of his Father. And that whatever he did, the Father would back up. So he wasn't afraid when he stood there. He said, right, Lazarus, come forth. He wasn't afraid when he told Dorcas, get up and live. There was no room for fear in his life is what I'm saying. And if you understand that you're the righteousness of God, when you go to a situation like that, you know you're in the presence of the Father, you have right standing with the Father, you hear the Father say, speak to that demon. You're going to speak expecting results and not afraid because you're going to know it's a new creation in you that's speaking. And whatever the Father tells the Son will do it. Glory to God. We're letting Satan have too much say in our heads. Righteousness means the ability to stand in God's presence as though sin had never been. Stand there without any sense of inferiority or condemnation. Now, not after death. So you, when you go up against demonic activity, you got to know who you are. You can't let the enemy come and say, well, you know, last night you kind of looked at that girl kind of strange, you know, and you know, night before you slipped on out with another woman. You know, see, the devil tell you like that. But here the Lord saying, you need to go out and cast that demon. See, you got to stand up in the righteousness of God, and you got to know that in his presence there is no sin. You have to begin to obey the word of God and stop letting the enemy mess with your mind. The Holy Spirit convicts, Satan condemns. God doesn't see sin in us, but Satan will judge it. Under grace, God doesn't see any sin for us. We're covered by the blood, but Satan will judge it. He'll come and condemn you. Yes, he will. That's why grace pushes you to walk in the love of God. Hallelujah. Colossians 2 and 15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing them over them by the cross. He put them to shame. Revelations 1:18, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. He died, y'all. Somebody said, oh, I thought he just went to hell and took the keys. See, you don't know, you understand. It had to be a perfect redemption. We had to be justified in spirit. We had the spirit of Satan. He had to take on the nature of Satan so that when he went to hell, once Satan finished everything, the Father could say, it's finished. He's done it all, spirit, soul, and body. He died. Scripture validates that. Glory to God. This is a wonderful scripture to me. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Glory to God, it doesn't stop there, and have the keys of hell and Hades. I told you, he left Satan paralyzed. Satan's still looking for them keys. And we just dangling all them, for some of us are. We need to start making a show of them. Stop letting them have it in our lives. We need to start bringing shame to his kingdom. Hallelujah. We are the children of God. Woo, glory, come on now, get a revelation who you are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21 speaks of being made a new creation in Christ. Old things being passed away, that's your old nature, and becoming new. What spirit, what is the spirit speaking of here? Speaking of that man that had that satanic nature in him. You know, we all walked that way one time. That old man, that old nature, Satan's nature. Sometimes we try to overlook that because we think we're so good. There's no way we could have had the nature of Satan. If you didn't have the nature of God, you had the nature of who? Your father was who? Sometimes when you talk truth, you start living in truth. Stop deceiving yourselves. Amen. And that's who Jesus died for and suffered and conquered the devil for. That nature. My Lord, it didn't stop at the cross, y'all. 3 days in hell. 72 hours. They said the worms, every evil, ugly, nasty thing that Satan could throw against him, he did it. You was in him. You was in him. You was in him. You was in him. He said, I'll take it all for him. I'm the sacrifice. And you don't love him for that? And that would have been eternal punishment. Ooh, but the day came with the Father said, that's it. That's enough. Settled. Debt paid. Hallelujah. John 8:44 says, and this is the word to let you know who your Father was before you became a new creation. If God were your father, said Jesus, you would love me. For I come from God and arrived here. I didn't come on my own. He sent me. Why can't you understand one word I say? Here's why. You can't handle it. You're from your father, the devil. And all you want to do is please him. It said he was a killer from the start. He couldn't stand the truth because there wasn't a shred of truth in him. Woo, Jesus. Jesus died and conquered Satan, and he wrought redemption for that demon indwelt man, that man with the devil's nature in him. We were redeemed, y'all. 1 Timothy says, who was manifested in the flesh and justified in the spirit. What do you mean manifested in the flesh? You saw him. He walked this earth. He was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit. What does that mean? He went down with the nature of Satan, defeated Satan, and he was acquitted. Lord have mercy. He was justified in the spirit. It's nothing missing. He did it all, Pastor George. He did it all. It was a perfect sacrifice. That's why we can be a new creation. That old nature was destroyed. Peter 3:18 said, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Here it is. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the prison spirits. What am I saying? Oh, see, all that was done down in hell. What am I saying? He went to hell with us in him. The demons did what they wanted to do to him. They killed him. But after 72 hours, the Father says, it is finished. It is done. And the Father said, whoosh, he created him again. He gave him his spirit. He became the begotten Son of God. Down there in hell with us in him, he became a new creation. All that happened in hell, when he rose, we rose right with him as new creations in Christ. We were resurrected with him, a new man. Can't you see that? When he came up, I came up. When he went in the Holy of Holies, I was right there with him. When he presented the blood, I was right there with him. When the Father said, well done, have a seat at my right hand. When he said, I said, glory to God. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ. Everything that could harm me was taken care of in hell. I can't get sick. I can't get sick. Satan has no master over me. I'm the master over Satan. I'm a new creation. And I have to remind him, Satan, do I look familiar to you, Satan? You don't remember this face down in hell, Satan? You don't remember when we were going one-on-one, Satan? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for redemption. Woo, Colossians 2:15. After he was done in Satan, the drama continues. He's meeting Satan there, and Colossians 2:15 explains this. He said he disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a spectacle of them. He triumphed over them. Why can't you believe that? Satan's a defeated foe. Why can't you believe that? In Colossians 2:15, I like the way the Weymouth selection, he said he shook him off of him. He shook him off. When he heard the Father's voice says, that's enough. Whoosh. Now you have my life. I can see Jesus just taking his stand. Jesus telling them demons, get off of me. Get off of me. It's over. Hallelujah. You got to shake him off of you. If you feel something clinging to your spirit, shake it off of you. Hallelujah. They'll remember. If Christ reigned and won, then Christ in you reigns. Shake it off, Reggie. Don't let it cling to you. Don't let it shake it off of you. Why are you sitting there trying to figure out what it is? You're going to go get a dictionary and look it up. Just shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off of you. Shake it off of you, Pastor Bonner. Shake it. It's been lingering too long. Hallelujah. It's lingering too long. I don't know what that means, but shake it off of you. Shake it off, Pastor. It's been lingering too long. Shake it off of you. Shake it off of you, Charles. Just shake it off. Shake it off, Charlene. Shake it off, Jackie. You're becoming too familiar with it. You're feeling comfortable with it. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off, Wendell. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off, Julius. Shake it off of you. Shake it off. Hallelujah. Shake it off, John. Shake it off of you. Shake it off, Pat. Shake it off, Kelly. Shake it off. Hallelujah. This could only happen after he conquered the adversary and taken the keys of death. Don't let it be in vain. He did all that. Now we have the freedom. Shake it off of you. Shake it off of you. I can't even envision Christ in me being sick. I can't. It can't stick to him. It can't. It's only in the flesh. And we live this life in the flesh by what? By faith. Yeah. tell the enemy he didn't have any authority. Jesus was recreated down in hell. Yes, he was. It's happened in hell as the head of the church. And we were recreated right there with him. When Jesus conquered and put to naught, it's just like we were right there with him. We were part of that battle. He arose, we arose with him. I can just see me and they're just grinning. I'm so happy to be in the parade. You know what I'm saying? I'm just so happy. I'm just so happy. I don't know what to do. Woo, Jesus, I'm so happy. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. I don't have to walk in fear, live in fear. Lord, I don't have to live in war. I don't have to live in poverty. Lord, I don't have to. I don't have to. I now have eternal life. I'm a new creature, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Jesus. I'm so happy. Glory to God. I remember being a little girl. I loved fairy tales. Just loved it. Always loved the supernatural. Always just believed that things like that were just possible. Always believed it was just another world other than this world. And sometimes being a child like that, you never know what's going on. It's like your spirit is in touch with something until someone comes and explains things. Oh, had all the fairy tales, but just loved them, loved them, loved them. Well, this is even better because this is real. There is another world. There is supernatural power. Glory to God. There is a Superman. I can't walk through walls. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Be set free today. Satan can't put diseases on you anymore. He can put them on Jesus. You got to see that. You got to see it. 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 As long as you take advantage of your place in Christ, as soon as Satan touches you, you know he's touching you. You got to take authority over that and command his power over you. You got to remember Satan is a defeated foe. I love Psalm 91. He said he will protect you from deadly diseases. You got to know the word. You got to stand up there and say, Lord, you said you will protect me from deadly diseases. Why did he put the word deadly? Because Satan wants you to think everything is under death. He said, I will protect you from deadly diseases. You got to know. And in Psalm 107, he said, I will snatch you from the door of death. Got to know the word. That's what he says, Pastor. I will snatch you from the door of death. And this is my last scripture. We have the nature of God, folk, which is love. If Christ live in us, you have to always remember that he's love. If you're not operating in love, you cannot stand in confidence and say, Christ is reigning in me. It diminishes it. See, that'll help you to walk in grace. And I'm seeing it's beginning to help me now. Even if I want to just tell a little lie. You know what I'm saying? I told you to be here 2:15. Well, you know, I got here 2. You know, even that bothers me now because I'm saying I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. And I can't say with confidence that the Lord in me is reigning. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to grieve the Spirit. He wants to find a spot in you. So if God is love and his nature is in us, we have to walk in love. If you want him to continue to reign supreme, you're now going to pause. I can't do that because that's going to grieve the Holy Spirit. Oh, I can't act like that because that's going to grieve. See, you won't have that confidence to say Christ is reigning. So you have to, and that's going to help your character. You're going to grow because you're going to be aware that it's Christ in you. You're not even going to want to gossip because the Spirit's going to say, that's not Christ. And you're going to hear it clearly now. And you want Christ to reign in you. That'll help somebody. I know it's helping me. And even now when people come into my office, it's easy not to get involved in that conversation. But my heart is full of grace and love. Because even if you try to, you can't be prideful with this. And we prayed and asked God, see, when you begin to get a truth, don't think you're the only ones that know it. Don't all of a sudden there try to find people to say, girl, guess what? I done got a revelation on grace. That's not what it's all about. It's to go and share. We have the nature of God in us. And I'm going to tell you something. If you want him to reign supreme, if you want to be full of his glory, you got to walk in love. Because he is in love. That's his nature. And you can't do anything to grieve the Holy Spirit. It's going to water down his presence in your life. Like I told you, it's really helping me, Janice. Mm-hmm. And it seems like I'm hearing clearer. He's speaking clearer because my heart is to walk in his love because I don't want to lose that relationship, you know? So that's very important. You can't go out here and just act any way you want and say, oh, this was a good message. It won't do you any good. You have to know that Christ reigns in you. He's love. And if you want to walk in all the victory that him living us give, you have to let him live. See, that's evident that you're letting him have his way. You don't have to tell me Christ is in you. I know because I see his nature. I see his nature in you. I see the Lord's nature in you. And see, that'll take away all. See, perfect love casts all fear. Because when I see his nature in you and I see his Christ, you don't have to worry about people looking at Charlene. Oh, they see Christ. And I honor Christ in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Jesus is Lord and head over this new creation. He delivered us out of the power of darkness. Colossians 1, 13, 14. He delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. I've given you nothing but word today. Nothing but the word of God. Nothing but the word. Didn't make up a thing. Just the word of God. And you need to take these scriptures and you need to go home and you need to meditate in them so you can be established. And my prayer is that God will make you even more hungry for more of his word. And Pastor and I, we're going to have communion right now.